We'd like to call your attention to the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. I'm going to read verses 22 through 29. And the Gospel according to St. John, supporting scriptures of it in chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. The Bible reads, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up unto a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Supporting scripture this morning, St. John 2, beginning with verse 7. "Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He said unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom." Based on those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning in the form of a question. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Amen, amen. Late in the midnight hour. Hallelujah. You don't never know when God's going to come. All you want him to do is just come. Whenever the Lord comes, it's just a blessing to know that he is right there by our side. We serve this morning a loving God. And don't take God's love or blessings for granted. We find ourselves sometimes, as blessed as we are, we complain quite a bit about this, that, or the other, but if we just look at the reality of life and just how good God really is, a lot of times it would cause us to sort of hold back our complaints, and instead of complaining, just throw your hands up in praise. There are times when you got to have within yourself instilled that mindset that I got a hallelujah anyhow praise, because I know I'm going to have some days of trouble. I know that there are going to be some times that things are just not going to come together. But in God's own time, God has a way of working things out. So, you know, we come this morning because God is good. We come because God have allowed us another opportunity just to be counted by amongst the living. And then when I look at this thing, by the grace of a loving God, he's allowed us another opportunity to be here on the last Sunday of the year. Hallelujah. Final week of the holiday season. And actually, it kicks off the new year. Time of renewed focus on oneself to make whatever necessary changes that can be made to put things into perspective. And when we put things into perspective, we have to get personal with this thing and realize that we can't worry about the Joneses or about working out somebody else's life, but every man, every woman got to work out his own soul salvation. So the new year gives us an opportunity to start things afresh, to pray that God will bless us, and to have a mind, if we would, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added unto you. Don't go into the beginning of the year pressing or worrying yourself about what all going to happen next year. Take it one day at a time. Just thank God for the moment that you have right now. We realize that God is a good God, and he is worthy of our praises. And one thing about him is that his righteousness will make things better and different in our lives. There are things that we would like to do that we may not be able to do, but there are things that we need to do that we need to be about our Father's business. There are those in here today that have faced so many trials and changes in life throughout this year. If it hadn't been one thing, it's been another. Many have gone through different types of illnesses and sicknesses, and those that have been in and out of the hospitals, back and forth to the doctor's offices. And if it's not one tragedy, it's another. 2014 was one of those times where you just didn't know. One minute everything is fine, the next minute things are happening. But we have to understand that that's nothing new in life. All of our lives, things have been happening. There have been birth, there's been death, there's been tragedy all throughout life. There have been folk that love God, there's folk that deny God, there are folk that love to praise Him, and then there are folk that sit down on Him. There are folk that are grateful that God has allowed them an opportunity to be in the house of God on this last Sunday. There are those of us in here that we have a conversation that time is moving so fast, and look how fast the year is gone. And we know we made all of those preparations for Christmas Day. Christmas Day came, Christmas is gone, and many folk have already taken down their decoration. They want to go on and get it on behind them because they realize that's said and done. But now, when we look at what we call the reason for this season, it's not said and done. Jesus is still Jesus. He has still got the peace of God. He still should have joy. We still should have some Jesus joy in our lives. Even if you didn't get anything for Christmas, but you got your life, you got your strength, you got another day's journey. How many of you know that's enough to tell God thank you? Is there any praises in the house this morning? Did anybody come just to let the Lord know, Lord, you done brought me a mighty long way? I look back at January. I didn't think I was going to make it. I had some challenges in life. I had some hills that I had to climb. I even had some stumbling blocks that got in my way. But how many of you learned how to make that stumbling block a stepping stone? You got to step up out of your situation and know that God will make a way out of no way. Am I talking to anybody in here that are glad that God is right there by your side? Glad that the Lord God made a way out of no way. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, did anybody hear me this morning? Now, I need some noise makers in this house this morning. Even though it's cloudy on the outside, we're not going to let the weather dampen our spirit. Because I got up this morning with joy in my heart. I got up thanking God for another day's journey. And I refuse to allow circumstances to make me sit down on God. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. We ought to be thankful this morning, not only for His birth, but for His mission, because He was on a mission. And we got to thank God for the mission, because as we talked about last week, when the Word dwelt amongst us in the flesh, He was born to save us from our sins. So all of the finger pointers, remember that when you're pointing at somebody else, you're actually pointing at yourself. All of those that are so judgmental about where somebody else ought to be, you ought to put yourself in check and see where you are. But when you look in the mirror, what you see is what it really is. Well, you know, when we look in the mirror, we try to fix all up and try to make ourselves look good. You look mighty good on the outside, but if your inside is messed all up, you're not doing anybody any justice. You can be towed down on the outside, but you got some good-looking things on the inside. Is anybody glad that can't nobody take what you got inside? They can't even take your praise. They may not want you to praise them, but they can't stop you. Just because don't nobody want you to say hallelujah, that's going to make you shut your mouth. You got to remember who woke you up this morning. You got to remember back in February, March, and April when things were going good or bad, it wasn't nobody but the Lord. Then there are those of us in here this morning that know that I've been having trials and tribulations all year long, and I didn't think that I was going to make it, but then you got a testimony this morning, but God saw things different, but God shall turn things around for my good. Anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? Have God turned anything around in anybody's life? Anybody come in here to lift up the name of Jesus? We ought to go out in style tonight. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, then you already answered my question. Because you don't believe in miracles. Because Jesus' birth must have been a miraculous birth within itself. When the Lord God allowed his son to come and to come to a virgin child, virgin girl. And because of that, the Savior was born. It was prophesied that this was going to happen and that the child would be a boy and his name would be called Jesus. So let us keep Jesus in our season. And do remember that in all seasons of life, Jesus says, in this life, hallelujah, Jesus, you are going to have trials and tribulations. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Because I've already overcome the world. You see, we got to see the essence in why he came to deal or dwell amongst us in the flesh. He came as a man, so he felt what we feel. He knows exactly what goes on in our minds, that when fear comes or when joy comes, he knows all about that. But the difference in him and us is that he's God. Even though he was born as a child, a little baby, and grew up, he was still already God. And so we thank God for being the kind of God that he is, because the Bible declares that when we are weak, he will make us strong. And as close as we get to the end of this year, we need to trust the power of a mighty God. There are those in here this morning that know that through the word of God, it says walk by faith and not by sight. And so what we got to understand, we got to stop focusing ourselves on our circumstances and our problems. You see, when you stay so focused on your problem, then you don't have room enough to get your joy. When you get so bent out of shape because of that bad side of life that you've been going through, it makes you forget about your good days really outweigh your bad days. Now, there's some folk in here that had a whole lot of bad days. But I come to tell you that your good days still outweigh your bad days. The problem is that you focus on those bad days because for some reason or another, we don't want to let it go. But how many of you want some freedom this morning? How many of you want peace of mind? You got to learn how to lay aside, the Bible say, every weight and every sin which so easily besets you. So in other words, it's not very hard for the enemy to get your attention or to get you off of focus. We got to learn how to keep our focus. We got to learn how to keep our eyes on the prize. And that prize is Jesus Christ himself. He is still God. He still has all power. And I don't know about you, but I believe that he's still a miracle worker. See, I don't know what you've gone through, but when you've gone through some things in life, you got to understand that God is the kind of God that will do what needs to be done. Does not matter what ordeal you may be dealing with, God will be right there by your side. In reality, sometimes you just don't know whether they are with you or whether they are against you, but you got to understand God is always there for you. He's always going to be there and he's always going to do what needs to be done. We got to have in our inner thoughts of our mind to know that as long as we trust the power of a loving God. And I come to let you know that God can handle whatever it is that you're going through. My question again this morning is, do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in some of the Bible and other parts that don't pertain to us? Or we just refuse to accept it in God's way? You see, in order to believe in miracles, we also got to believe in the Word of God. The Word of God is not going to change just because you don't see yourself where it is. Now, we do have a tendency sometimes to go through the Word of God and find things that justify our here being. But in the end of the day, the word of God is not going to change. All 66 books are going to be accountable to us, and we got to trust who God is and what God can do. It's been said that if you can believe it, you can achieve it. So we have to have faith that is not wavering or full of doubt. You see, that's the problem with a lot of us so-called church folk, Christian folk. We say that we love God. We say we got faith in God. But all we have to do is just get a little tremble in our steadiness. And all of a sudden, we get a little doubt. All we have to do is hear a naysayer say, oh, you don't have nothing. And then you find yourself questioning yourself. Don't tell me what I got. You don't know what I got. Anybody in here know that? Don't nobody know the degree of love that you have for the Lord? Don't nobody know your personal conviction that you got with God? There are folk that don't understand that you might be one to cry out and you might be one that never open up your mouth, but that does not mean that you're not talking to your God. There's some folk in here that never lifted up their hand, never run across the floor, but their heart is just so full of joy. Every time they hear the confirmation of the word of God, that God is still right there by their side, it gives them another sense of hope. Anybody in here still got hope this morning that I might not be where I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be? I want to be everything that God will have me to be. So we got to learn how to stop having doubt. Because when you got doubt, it's just like saying you can or you can't. That there's no middle ground in there. We got to stop saying that if the Lord will, God can do whatever he wants to do. So God's going to do that. We got to trust God in every step of life. Moving faith has no middle ground. No matter what anyone else says or do, you got to believe that he is and that he will. And how many of you know some folk that will look at you like you're crazy? Some folk will look at you like it just don't take all of that. Some folk will look at you like you ought to sit down somewhere. But you got to understand that you weren't made by those folk. You were made from the dust of the ground by loving God. And those folk didn't give you life. It was God himself that breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. And then you became a living soul. So God took the dirt and made clay and made man in his own image. And it was nothing but a piece of clay. But God breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. Charles, I believe that's a miracle. Hallelujah, Jesus. Miracles. A miracle is an event that appears to be contrary to the laws of nature. A miracle is regarded as an act of God, an event or action that is totally amazing and extraordinary or unexpected. Miracles still happen. You got to understand that when we talk about miracles, they didn't stop when Jesus went to glory. But he allowed the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of his will to still be amongst us. Miracles are expressions of God's salvation and God's glory. When I say that I believe in miracles, then I'm saying that I believe that God can do anything. I'm saying that God can do some things that are beyond my comprehension. I can't even get in my mind what God can do, but I know God to be a miracle worker. That man or that woman that was laid on their deathbed and the doctor shook his head and said, there's no more I can do. But God saw it a different way and stepped in that man's bedroom and touched his body and made everything all right. And somebody said that was a miracle. Hallelujah. All of the beautiful little babies that we enjoy right now. We never really understand how God did what he does, but he did it. And then that creation comes out with five little fingers and five little toes, just like you got. And we look at them like they're going to be just precious all the time. But you know what? They're going to grow up into the same kind of folk that you're looking at beside you. Everybody's sweet baby is somebody else's maybe. So when we look at miracles, creation itself could be considered a miracle. Jesus was and is a miracle worker. And as we think about our question of today, we got to have a mind to believe for ourselves. We hear the story of how God parted the Red Sea. Moses stretched forth his rod and delivered the children of Israel. That was a miracle. So miracles didn't just begin in the New Testament. Miracles just didn't just began because of Jesus the Christ, but miracles came through and by God. God has all power. And as we read our responsive reading, the Bible declares that God is the kind of God that holds us in his hands. And as long as we're in the hands of a mighty God, if we trust and believe that he is our protector, he is our God, the Bible declares that no man is able to pluck you out. So when I think about the miracles of God, even when he gave the laws on Mount Sinai, the way that he gave it, it was a miracle. He was a light in darkness. He sent manna down from heaven. His word was spoken by the prophets, and even the prophets that began to declare the word of God, when that word came to pass, that was a miracle. You see, when God's word is spoken, when God's word is put out there and you trust and believe in what the word of God says, then God has a way of working out some things in your life. So now when we look at our Savior's beginning in ministry, in public ministry, his first miracle, the Bible says that it was the third day and there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and the disciples were all there at the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They don't have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet coming." In other words, mama, it's not my time yet. I don't need to really let them show. I don't need to show them my hand yet. You know how sometimes you can't show your hand? Sometimes you can't tell folk what your intentions are. Because even though they might be on your side, but then again, they might not be on your side. So sometimes you can't let everybody know what you got on your mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That there are times when you got to steal away all by yourself. You got to be just like the Lord our God. And there are times when you can't pray aloud and let everybody hear what you're talking to God about. Because there are some folk that talk to God against you. There are some folk that tell God don't bless them because of this, that, or the other. Now that's a mean thing to say, but we got some mean folk in the world. And I guarantee you there's somebody that said, "Lord, don't heal them. Lord, don't bless them. Lord, don't deliver them." But how many are glad that what they say don't have the bearing on what God says? Somebody said that the devil don't like it because you're blessed like that. Every time you have a smile on your face, you make the devil mad. Every time somebody makes you mad and you give him love, you make the devil madder. Anybody in here know how to fight against the devil? Where you fight the devil, just keep on loving them. Yes, sir. Thank you, God. Woo. Yes, sir. Excuse me. Oh, gosh. There are times that I thank God for him being God. Because our minds can sort of get away from us sometimes. We get to thinking, we get to talking, and sometimes we sort of talk a little too much. Now, there are some things that we ought not say. So there are times we got to learn how to keep a hush mouth and don't say everything that we think that we're big enough and bad enough to say. But there's some folk that believe that they can do folk any kind of way. But you got to be just humble like Jesus. Jesus is saying, "Mama, I know that I got that power, but I don't really want to show them that power." But now we got to understand that Jesus was a good child. Jesus was a child that was full of love and obedience. So mama spoke, so he got to do what mama say do. So the Bible says, his mother said unto the servant, so even though Jesus made that reply, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Look what mama said. Mama said to the servant, "Whatsoever he say, you go do it." All right. So in other words, I heard you, but I don't hear you because you getting ready to do what I just asked you to do. and I'm going to get you some help. I'm going to call the servants to come and to help you along the way. And whatever you need them to do, I already told them, whatever you ask them to do it. So there were six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews containing two or three firkins apiece. And so these water pots were water pots that were used for cleansing before they went into the temple. So now here we have these big water pots here. And Jesus says unto them, fill those water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. Said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. So in other words, Jesus said, now take a drink. So now as they began to bear it and began to take it out, they took it to the governor so that he could test it. Now the ruler of the feast, as he tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. So in other words, the one that was holding the function had no earthly idea where this wine come from. Realized that I done run short. You know, it's an embarrassing thing to run out of food or to run out of beverage when you're having an occasion. Especially an occasion like a marriage ceremony, and you got all your family and all your guests there. And now when everybody's having a good time, you done run out of wine. Now, for us, that had been the benediction. As soon as you get your wine or your food gone, your friends are gone too. But now, at this wedding, they had a deliverer in the midst. They had a miracle worker there. This miracle worker could take water and just say the word, and that water tastes like wine. Didn't specify whether it was red wine, white wine, or Chardonnay. But it just said that the water turned into wine. So now, the Bible says that when he tasted the wine, the ruler said that he called for the bridegroom. Said to the bridegroom, every man at the beginning, usually they will give you good wine. Then after they are feeling pretty good, they'll give you the worst wine. But now, you've done things in a different manner. For you have saved the good wine unto now. The Bible says that this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So now, they believed that God was able. Just because they had run out of something, the Lord turned things around for their good. There are times when our faith walk is in total darkness. And we just keep on praying that God will help us to move forward. We got to know this morning that that was the first miracle. When Jesus took water and turned it into wine. But now all along in Jesus' earthly ministry, we find that as he began to work out the things that God had sent him here to do, that there are many times that he had to show the people of God that he was God. And the way he did that was by the power that he used in certain circumstances. God is able this morning to do what nobody else can do. Now, when we look at our text this morning, we got to understand that everything is going to be all right. Because we serve a God that is still a miracle worker. Now, the Bible says, if we look at earlier in this chapter, the Bible said that when Jesus went forth that he saw a great multitude, Jesus saw them and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed everybody that was sick. So the Bible declares that when evening was come, disciples came to him and they began to let him know that it's time now that we could sit down and get something to eat. So now you need to tell these people that they need to go somewhere and get them some victuals because we don't have anything to feed them. Jesus said unto them, they need not to depart. Just give ye them to eat. They said unto him, we have nothing but 5 loaves and 2 fish. But he said, oh, just bring them hither to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Bible says he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to the heavens, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. Disciples gave it to the multitude. They all did eat. And the Bible declares that after everybody was full, they had even 12 baskets of fragments left over. So I want to let you know that that too was a miracle. We see the power of a mighty God. So I just stop by to let somebody know that when you get hungry, don't worry about it. When you get in a bad situation, don't worry about it. But know that the Lord God will be right there by your side. I just want to let you know that God is the kind of God that knows exactly what's going on in your life. And I don't know whether you believe in miracles or not, but if you have been there and saw that the Lord our God fed over 5,000 men along with women and children, and he had enough to feed everybody and have some leftovers, I want to let you know that God is that kind of God. He's a God that has all power. But I want to let you know in our text this morning that straightway after this happened, that the Lord God constrained the disciples, get in the ship and go to the other side. In other words, I done did all that I want to do right now. And it's time for you to go over to the other side. Because I need to get myself in order. I need to go and talk to my master. You see, you got to understand that if the Lord our God will pray and talk to his father, I want to know why you don't talk to your father. You better learn how to call on the name of the Lord. The Lord God said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Anybody ever talk to your God and let the Lord God know that I want you on my side? I need the Lord in my life this morning, and the Lord is going to make a way out of no way. I find Jesus right now as he went and sent the multitudes away. He went up into a mountain to pray. When evening was come, he was there all alone. I thank God for being there all by himself. Now the Bible declares that the ship was now in the midst of the sea. It was tossed to and fro by the waves. The wind was contrary, and a storm had came in the land. Anybody ever been out on the sea and saw the storm as it began to rage? The wind began to blow. The lightning began to flash. The thunder began to roll. The ship began to rock from one side to another. And don't you know, as it began on out there in the night, if you ever been out on the sea, there's not any lights out there. So it's very dark out there. And they're darkening, walking in, they're riding in the darkness. And the ship is going one side to another. The men in the ship are rowing as hard as they can row. But it seems like they can't get everything to get back in order. But I thank God for Jesus, because the Lord God realized that my children are in trouble right now. Don't you know God know what you're going to go through? When the Lord God told him to go to the other side, he already realized that I'm going to have to rescue them. But this is going to be a way for me to show them my power. For the Bible said that as they got out there, that the ship began to get away from the shore. It was about 3 or 4 miles out into the middle of the sea. And this wind was still blowing, and the rain was still coming down. And the people on the ship began to get afraid. Have you ever been afraid of the storm? There's somebody in the house this morning that it can thunder and lightning right here, and you can be in the comforts of your own home, and you go in the room and lay down somewhere. There's some folk that'll cover up their head thinking that you can hide from the lightning. But have you ever noticed when you cover up yourself, you can still see the lightning? You can't hide from God. But what God has, he has on you. God has an ever watching eye. And I see the Lord God watching the disciples right now. He said that they were out there and they were going across the sea. Now the Bible say about the fourth watch of the night, that was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, when it was very dark on the outside, and they began to see something coming across the sea, walking on top of the water. Bible say they got fear down on the inside. In other words, they got scared of what they saw. They thought that it was a spirit or a ghost. If you were out there in the dark, and all of a sudden in your eyesight and in your mind you saw something coming towards you, would you not have fear? But look at who God is. God realized that he knew that they were having fear. They were having some thoughts in their mind. They were afraid of what was going to happen. So the Bible said, he said, be of good cheer, for it is I. Be not afraid. Didn't we say in our response to reading that the shepherd know the sheep and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd? So when they heard the voice of Jesus, everything was all right then. But they realized, I'm not out here all by myself, but the God that I serve, he's still watching over me. The circumstances that I'm in, I'm not in it all by myself, but I got a God that's watching over me. Even though I'm in the middle of the sea and the waves may be raging, I see my Lord down there on the sea. And my Lord said everything is going to be all right. But I heard that brother Peter said, oh Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto you. So now I see the Lord God said, as he's walking there out on the water, he said, Peter, if you want to come, come on to me. So the Bible said that Peter got up. Peter stepped outside the boat. Peter began to walk on the water. But you see, as Peter walked on the water, the storm was still raging. The wind was still blowing. See, Peter needed to keep his eyes on the Lord. But Peter began to think about the wind. Peter began to think about, I might drown. And when he had a little bit of doubt, the Bible said that he began to sink. So I just stopped by to tell somebody, keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't get focused off of God, because there's somebody out there to get you. But if you got your eyes on the Lord will make a way out of no way. Somebody might say that Peter didn't have faith enough, but you got to understand, Peter had some strong faith, because he had faith enough to believe that God said that you can come out and walk to me. And he stepped out and began to walk on the water. But how many of you read the Bible that when he began to sink down in the water, he said, oh Lord, save me. I'm getting ready to die. There are times when you feel like you're going to die. But if the Lord God is not ready, if God is not ready, he'll do just like he did for Peter. For the Bible says he immediately, meaning he didn't think about it. He didn't say, I'll be there after a while. But it was spontaneous right then, right there. He reached down and grabbed Peter by the hand, pulled Peter up to safety. They walked on and got back up on the ship. When they got on the ship, the Bible says that the wind ceased. The storm stopped. Everything was all right. They realized that we got power right here on the ship. All we got to do, when I see the power of a mighty God, they began to realize that I serve a mighty God. And my God has saved us. God has made everything all right. Look at God's sunshine now. He'll let you know that even when there's a cloud in the sky, that I see got some sunshine and the sun will shine again. But I see these disciples, they fell down on bended knee. They said, oh my God, you must be the Messiah. I gotta worship you. I gotta love you. I gotta give you my all in all. Cause when I was lost, you found me. When I was down and out, you picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I got joy, unspeakable joy. Anybody in the house know God for themselves? I'm glad that I know God this morning. I asked you a question. Do you believe in miracles? I believe in the miracle. I believe Jesus walked on the water. I believe that he got all power. I believe that somebody in here is next in line for your miracle. God is a miracle worker, and a miracle we can't explain. Do you believe in miracles? Mama, she might have believed. Daddy believed. But you got to believe it for yourself. You can't go on nobody else's coattail. Somebody prayed for you, but they can't answer for you. You got to answer for yourself. Then you got to know this morning that if you can believe in the power of a miracle, just having sense enough to try to change from our wicked ways, that's a good start. And there are folk that might look at you, say, I don't know how you got where you are. I can't believe you the same man or the same woman that I used to know. Jesus works miracles in the lives of his people. And just because you don't walk like he walk, that's all right. Walk like you walk. Trust God for yourself. God has done some things for us that no one else can do. When you read that word, it's full of miracles. Every one of them is true. When you have a testimony that God looked beyond my faults and blessed my wretched soul, you're looking at a miracle. No one can do you like Jesus. And the Lord wants me to let someone know this morning. Stop worrying and being overly concerned about your circumstances. God knows your circumstances. He knows that things might be tight. He knows that there are days that you'll be wondering or worrying about, what am I going to do? The Lord says, stop worrying. Start trusting. For did I not promise you that I'll never leave you? Neither will I forsake you. It gets hard sometimes. And as time goes and your circumstances begin to change, and sometimes they get better, sometimes, unfortunately, they get worse. But God is still worthy of all of our praises. You see, every Sunday, there's an invitation given, and then we're invited to come and to lay things at the feet of Christ. But if you lay them here and you waver or you doubt, visualize yourself being Peter, because during that time of doubt, you are sinking back in your mess. But then have the faith of Peter. As you sink, don't give up. Cry out, oh Lord, save me. Oh Lord, come and get me. Is that anybody's words in here this morning? Lord, don't leave me all by myself. Lord, I'm trying to do better than I've been doing, but it's hard. And every time I seem like I'm on my feet, I stumble and I fall. But Lord, help me to get back up. Anybody believe that God will help you get up? Anybody believe God to be your miracle worker? Anybody glad that he worked a miracle in your life? Somebody ought to love God enough to say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for my healer. I thank you, God, for being a deliverer. I thank you, God, because you are my friend. You gave me an invitation to come. Some folks just don't want to go. But there's going to be a time that you're going to want to be there. And you begin to say, Lord, where are you? Where were you? And the Lord God can tell you, I've been here all the time. But you looked over me to do your own thing. But I'm still God. Do you believe in miracles? He can work them out for you. Now, since that recorded day, never heard of nobody else walking on the water. But God got that kind of power. Don't let nobody fool you. When God said, if you know God said it, trust and believe it. You may be like a man on the island all by yourself, but you stand there and keep trusting, keep believing, and the Lord will do what needs to be done.